Okay, so we'll just switch this on. Now, the sheets to fill out. There's staff management sheets. There's three sheets. One is, just take one and pass it on. The first one is people's triggers. So this is stuff that you can work on yourself. Put the people's names down. So let's see what motivates each person. So it's not a matter for, you know, having one way of doing it or having one approach. It depends on the individual. So again, we don't have time to go through the exercise now. Write down your staff's name and write down the triggers beside it. So this guy's motivated by money, this guy's motivated by time, this guy's motivated by recognition, this guy is motivated. Some people, engineers, maybe a fellowship of an institute would be the highest award that they could possibly get. And if you look back on your career as well, the moments that made you feel great, some of them were just little things. You know, some of them are just, you know, going for a meal, or it doesn't have to be paying people thousands. Paying thousands works in some cases. If you're not doing stuff you like, all the money in the world isn't going to help. You know, so that's that. So write your people down and find out what their triggers are. That's really what you want to know. And if you can do that, and then by knowing the triggers, we determine what action we're going to take as a result. And that now, that becomes part of our management style. The second sheet is their strengths and weaknesses. So again, names on one side, strengths and weaknesses on the other. So this guy is really good at dealing with people, but he's terrible at paperwork. And you find stuff that, and your best sales guys are nightmares when it comes to paperwork. So let's not talk in general paperwork. I worked in a company where we had huge problems with pricing, where it was very difficult to get prices right. And when I looked at the systems and procedures, they had a triplicate book, non-carbon. They had to fill out the price amendment in triplicate, give one to the customer, keep one themselves, send one into the office, and it's supposed to arrive at the office on Thursday to start on a Monday. But that never worked. And forms got lost and mislaid and didn't get put up on the system, and we had nightmares. And we just simplified the process. These guys aren't computer literate and they aren't, you know, stuck. So that's, from now on, you know what? You go into a customer and you get an order, you agree a price. You ring Mary in the office. You say, look, I've just been in with Murphy's and I've agreed a price of £16.40 with them. And she knows the customer codes and she knows the product codes and she knows everything because that's her job. She's in the office. And she'll put the price up on the system, transfer it down to telesales, and they'll key in the order. And the order will pick up the right price. So let's cut out all the nonsense, if we can. So let's make it as simple as possible for these guys to do their job. And I always said if I had a really good sales guy, I would pay somebody to sit in the back of the car to do the paperwork for them. Just let them throw all the rubbish over and have somebody mopping up after them and let them bulldoze through and get all the work done. Getting salespeople to do budgets and typing out paperwork, of course they don't do it badly because they hate doing all that stuff. Okay, the second sheet then is strengths and weaknesses. So let's see if we can establish what our people's strengths and weaknesses are. And let's see how we can capitalize on the strengths and eliminate their weaknesses. Okay, now along that line, there's a couple of things. If you ask somebody what is your strengths and what is your weaknesses, this is a big HR question at interviews, which I hate. Yeah, let's give me a big stick now to beat myself, you know. And you say, what are your strengths? Oh, well, you know, and they're afraid to blow on their own trumpet, and people are a bit coy about that. And they're even worse about their weaknesses. What are your weaknesses? Oh, I suppose I care too much. Oh, go away from me. You know? I care too much. Yeah, God, make me sick. If you're going to ask stupid questions like that, then that's the sort of response you're going to get. You're going to get a stupid answer. Okay? To me, in terms of questions, if you want to establish somebody's strengths, yeah, there is the question. What's the best day you had in working the last 3 months? Why did you enjoy it so much? It's a non-threatening question. And from that question, they will now tell you what their strengths are. Oh, it's the day I clinched that deal, it's the day I did this, it's the day I did that, or when that check came in, I got a race on the head, or when I went to meet so-and-so. And you'll see them being animated as they tell you the best day they had in work. And what they're telling you is, without any psychoanalysis or whatever, they are telling you what their strengths are. Yeah? And if you find out why they enjoyed it so much, now I can create a much better world for this guy. If I want to know their weaknesses, I simply say to them, what's the worst day you had at work? And why did it get to you? Oh, I had to do this 4-page spreadsheet and there was 27 things along and it just didn't make idea and I couldn't. Now I know they're not detailed enough, that's not something I'm going to do. But if I ask them their weaknesses, they won't be able to tell me. Or they tell me some rubbish that they don't want to hear.
They read in a book somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So even though I read this in a book somewhere, it's still great stuff. This is Marcus Buckingham again. 4, if I want to know their triggers, I'll say, what's the best relationship you ever had with Roger? Oh, I love work for Pat. Why? Because he used to leave me alone and get on with it. Yeah, or I love Mary because she got bugs in every Friday, or whatever the case may be, or he spoke to me every morning, or made sure I did everything I needed, or, you know, so by asking these 4 questions, and if this is a mini interview, we can do this on an ongoing basis. And maybe we start tomorrow in an informal, not a big deal. So look, tell me. So what's the best relationship you ever had with a manager? Working maybe I should put in. We seem to love this. I don't want to know. Okay. And what made it special. And if we want to know their learning styles, when in your career did you learn the most? So, oh yeah, when I went around with the sales guy and I sat in the back of the car and I saw everything he was doing and it was brilliant. Or when somebody gave me a book and I read it and I thought it was great. Or when somebody broke things down into its individual component parts and made me see how it all fits together. So now I know this guy is an analyzer, this guy is a doer, this guy is a watcher. And then if I do that, I can change the world to meet them. So it's not playing drafts, I'm playing chess now with these guys. So I'll motivate this guy the way he wants to be motivated. I will praise him the way he wants to be praised. I will teach him the way he needs to be treated. And I will find out what their strengths and what their weaknesses are. And then I look at all the jobs that have to be done and the jobs I don't like doing as well. And then we rearrange the world that everybody's working for their strengths. And you know, we create a fantastic way. This is called the 12 questions. And I hate doing follow-up because I'm not very good at doing follow-up. 12 questions. These 12 questions were devised by Gallup when they were working for a company in the States called Best Buy. It's a chain of electrical, like Power City, you know, that kind of an electrical store. And the business was going badly, and they called these guys in. And what happened was, the guy who owned the stores racked his brains. He had some stores who were performing really, really well, and other stores were performing really, really badly. And no matter how he tried to analyze them and tried to go through figures and which ones were in shopping centers and which ones were in main streets and which ones were new stores and which ones were bad stores and which... And there was nothing... He couldn't find a trend as to why the good stores were good and the bad stores were bad. So he went around and visited them and stood in the store. And he came around one day and said, I've got it now, I've got it. The stores who are performing well are the stores where the people want to be there. They're interested, they're engaged, they just have an enthusiasm for the place. And they're infectious with their enthusiasm. The stores that are doing badly are the guys who are just doing a job. So he asked Gallup to come up with a set of interview questions. And they took time out every month to answer this survey. And the stores were rated. He forgot about turnover, he forgot about sales, he forgot about everything else. And now how these guys were measured was on the basis of how the staff responded to the survey. And an amazing thing happened, because every point that each store increased, their turnover increased by another 100 grand. So it's working at the cause, not the effect. Now, I don't know how big the organization is. Some amazing questions here. And if you have the guts in your own organisation, ask these questions. So 5 is strongly agree, 1 is disagree, and somewhere in the middle. So ask yourself these 12 questions. Do I know what's expected of me at work? I did this in my own tiny office with 3 people in it, and I was amazed that I didn't get 5. Yeah? And I would have thought, that's a definite one. No, definitely chase the goalposts all the time. And I do. So, now what am I going to do about that? So, they have to know clearly what's expected. Do I have the materials and equipment I need to do the right job? That's a part of management as well, to give them the tools. And come on, it might only be a stapler that doesn't jam, or it might be a calculator that doesn't have the number of the sticks. These are the things that annoy and grate on people. So if they don't have the tools to do the job, we can do something about that very quickly. So this should always be a 5. And if it isn't, then tell me about it before you complete the next survey and I'll get it for you, whatever it is. Do I have an opportunity to do what I do best every day? So am I working to my strengths? Now, again, you want to be aiming for 5s here as well. And if you don't get to do what you do best every day, maybe you're in the wrong job. In the last 7 days, have I received recognition or praise for good work? Hands up here who received recognition or praise in the last 7 days. I rest my case. And yet we said earlier, praise is one of the most important things. We know how important praise is. We know when people tell us how good we are, how good it makes us feel. And yet not one of us have received praise in the last 7 days. Okay? That is almost unforgivable. And whether it's praise at a sales meeting, praise on a one-to-one basis, whatever is appropriate for the person you're dealing with, you must. And the thing about it is, and this is where you have to be careful, you must always give praise if people perform at a level of excellence. So, Mark, that was wonderful. The way you handled that customer was great. Well done. Okay? That is now sending a message to everybody else in the team, this is how I want things done. So you have to be very careful who you praise and how you praise and who's listening when you praise. Mm-hmm. Because if I tell you that was very well done, you handled that customer extremely well, I'm now sending a signal to everybody else, this is how I want it to be done. Yeah, Carl, well done. You were, you know, in here 8:30 every morning for the last week. That's really showing commitment. That's brilliant. Well done. Appreciate that. Now I'm telling you, being on time is important to me. The staff will respond. Yeah? If somebody is in on time every day and one person is late once and I tackle them for being late once, I'm focusing on what I don't want. And some people, any attention is better than no attention. And even with children, isn't it? Sometimes even telling off is better than being ignored. Yeah? So if I'm not giving praise to people, if I'm not recognising the achievements, then I will find I will foster bad behaviour because some people crave my attention as a manager.
Yes.
So they'll do anything to get my attention. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not going to praise them for doing good stuff and recognise that, then they will do bad stuff. And it's my fault as a manager, I've created that environment. So have I received the last 7 days, have I received praise? Does my supervisor or someone at work seem to care about me as a person? This is back to showing care. If they feel cared about, they will perform at a level of excellence. If they don't, they won't. Is there someone at work who encourages my development? So, you know, again, it's the whole person. So we need to make sure of that. At what do my opinions seem to count? So am I taken seriously? Or am I just another cog? If I take it seriously and my opinions count, now I feel good about myself. If I'm dismissed and said, what was you about? Then I feel bad about myself. I've just written, but I had to write an article at lunchtime, that's why I was here. And one of the things that I wrote about in terms of getting information and building up contacts and the trade and all that sort of stuff, and it's very important that, in terms of opinions, need to count. Guess where, as credit manager in the companies that I worked for, I spent most of my time outside the department with the van drivers and the sales reps. Mm. Not the sales managers, the sales reps. They know what's going on. And if they know what's going on, the van drivers who are dropping stuff at the back door, they know even more.
Yeah, same for the technicians, the guys who serve at the place. I did a regular project for direct debits and stuff, and I asked one of the technicians to come, and I said, why are you asking him?
Yeah, because he knows more.
He's in the same customers. They tell him before they tell us.
Of course they will.
See him twice a month or whatever, and they tell him, I have a pain, do you want to ring me about money or I'm getting this letter? And he was able to tell me straight off what would work and what wouldn't.
Yeah. These are the people who know. And you know, sometimes in an organisation, you know, sometimes the guy in a suit who comes down and says, how are you? Mm. You know, how'd you get on today? Any issues out there? How are they doing? What's the thing? They love to be asked their opinion, and they love then to feel their opinion counts. Mm. And I spent, and I made a history, and again, the accountants back at the ranch, what are you doing talking to those guys? These are the guys who know, the directors have no clue. You're so far removed from reality. You're in your own little world up there. You know, unfortunately, as a credit guy, I'm in the real world. And I need to know how many cigarettes they have in the stand. You see, if it's a grocery shop, you just walk straight in and look at the cigarette stand. If it's full, the cigarette companies are supplying them. They're paying the cigarette companies. If the stand is empty, then they're buying their cigarettes at the cash and carry. They're knackered. Yeah? If you go into a restaurant and they have a nice dispenser, you know the toilet roll dispensers on the wall, and they have a roll of toilet roll on the cistern. There's only one reason they do that. They didn't pay their paper suppliers. They put them on stop supply. True. So there are warning signs that we need to look out for. Yeah? And knowing these, and the sales guys just have a nose for this. And sales guys, and the van drivers, I find van drivers are better. Because they see the real world at the back door. You know, it's all polish and nice at the front end at reception. It's definitely at the back door, that's where you see all the stuff. So if I don't even seem to count, now I feel important. Because everybody wants to feel important. Does the mission and purpose of my company make me feel like my work is important? So if I feel important at a performance level, if I think I'm only another cog, that what I do has no relevance whatsoever, that's terrible. Are my co-workers committed to doing quality work? So, you know, am I working as part of a team? This is a real funny one. Do I have a best friend at work? Apparently people who do will relate better to work, yeah? So this is something they certainly encouraged, to have somebody who they were really friendly with at work. It strikes as well. In the last 6 months, have I talked to someone about my progress? If you have, it's 5.5 this month. About my progress. So, just check it in, what you're doing, how you're doing it. All the time feedback. And at work, have I opportunities to learn and grow? If you have the confidence to give that survey to your staff, you don't have to tell your boss if you don't want to. Say, look, I got this on a course, and do you want to just fill it in? You should do it anonymously, you can put the names on it if you want, and then you might be horrified at the results. And if they don't have the tools, then what can they do? What can make your life easier? And I, as a job of manager, I see my job is to make sure, you see, I would redraw the organizational chart. The way we are traditional draw the operation of the organizational chart is, well, I suppose there's two ways. And one is your traditional way where you have the MD at the top, and then you have a board of directors, and then you have the managers, and then you have the staff. Isn't that a standard way of looking at the board of directors? I don't like that graph at all. What I would prefer is, if the most important person in my business is my customer, I would put the customer front and centre of everything that I do. And then the people who are most important in the organisation are the people who are directly interacting with the customers. Yeah? And this is the receptionist,
these are your credit staff, these are your sales staff, these are your van drivers, these are the people, your technicians, your tellers, whoever they have to be, the people who are in daily contact with the customers. So if my customer is the most important, then the people who interact with them on a daily basis are key, because they are the company, they are the picture of the company in the eyes of my customer. And then behind these I have managers. And these managers are here to support these people to make sure they have the resources they need to be able to perform this job at a level of excellence. Yeah? And then as we go back to the MD, well, the MD's job is to make sure we all have jobs in 3 years' time. So the more senior you're on the ranks, the more long-term your perspective has to be. And if you ever thought about wage rates, who gets paid the most? Well, here's the thing. We get paid in proportion to what length of time our work has influence over. So if I'm a receptionist who works on a day-to-day basis and she doesn't turn up tomorrow, somebody else can slot in there, she gets paid this rate. If I'm a credit controller and I have monthly targets, then I get paid a different rate. If I'm a finance director, I have annual figures to achieve, I get paid at a higher rate. If I'm a strategic manager and the next 5 years' future of the company depends on me, then I get paid a different rate. So the seniority of management is determined by the length of time they have influence over. And if my managing director is down here for half the day, why? We should be looking at trends, we should be looking at markets, we should be looking at opportunities, we should be looking at all the other stuff that we should be doing. Yeah? Because that's their job. Yeah? And looking at costs and looking at efficiencies and making sure that the resources are in place to make sure our customers are happy. And if our staff are happy, they will make sure our customers are happy. There's rather good questions, aren't
there? Yeah. Yeah, I have the idea. Like, I have a team based in Mason, where I'm family based, and then I have one in Limerick and one in Athlone. Sometimes I feel that they get ignored a little bit because they're not with us every day. So right. That, I think, people get to them might not be as good as the others. So that'd be kind of a bit touchy-feely and buzz in every day, but they wouldn't have that. They'd have it probably twice a month each.
Mm.
And I think if I gave that to them, I wonder would it be a big difference in the feedback they get.
Do you have the courage to do it?
Yes, I will.
Let's just see.
Yeah.
And I think if there's a level of trust, like we're not here to beat you up, but this is not the point. The point of this is we want to make it better.
Exactly.
And so we need your feedback, and your feedback is important to shape where we're going with this. Hard in your environment to create trust.
That's exactly. Feedback would be in all of those.
Yeah. It might be no harm. And even if you go from, you know, if everybody gives you a 1, so they're all, so we're starting at 12, so okay, it'll only get better from here. So let's look at the sort of key areas that maybe we could focus on this month to see if we can bring that up to a 3.
But I think the great thing with that would be it's a recognition that I'm looking at this, yeah. I want to improve for you, not just for me. And once they know that, you're interested straight away. You're saying, I'm interested in your opinion, and I want to improve things. And straight away, that's a positive, I think.
Yeah.
So the fact that you even do it.
Yes. And then coupled with the mini-interview with the 4 questions.
Yeah.
What was the best day? What was the worst day?
Absolutely. You know,
and it's just, it's banter, it's non-threatening. Whereas if I sit you down and go, so Sharon, what are your strengths and your weaknesses?
Yes.
Get lost.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
That's
good. So that's that. And then finally, sorry, we have the third here. The third staff thinks these are things you need to know. Just haven't had to send them down. And this is the learning styles. So we know there's thousands of learning styles. The 3 main ones are analysing, doing, and watching. So, and I'm quite sure, even just knowing what an analyzer is, what a doer is, and what a watcher is, we can categorize our people and make sure that we train them and educate them and teach them correctly. That's appropriate to them. And that's why, and it's just a little bit of a rant of mine, why I am such a huge critic of our current education system. I just think it's so dreadful. We have kids who are talented at painting, at art, at football, at all these wonderful things that we value so much in our society. And yet, we beat them into square holes. You have to do maths, you have to do Irish, you have to do geography, you have to do history. So terrible. And we have to do it on an academic basis, and you have to sit down for 2 hours and do an exam. Like, how awful is that? And, you know, so we're treating our kids with powerlessness from the start. I think it's terrible. I think if we took our kids and found out what their talents were, found out what they loved doing, and encouraged them, you know, and then some parents want to give their kids what they didn't, so they spend hours going from tennis court to football pitch to everything else, and they're worn out at the end of it all, and they're not really enjoying any of it. You know, so parents then want to live their lives through their kids. That's terrible. I think that's a form of abuse as well, in my view.
Because there's no balance.
Now, we do need to push, and I think we need to get people to be the best that they can possibly be. Yeah, I heard a great one in terms of a manager who asked his staff member for a report on a particular area of work that they were looking at reviewing. Okay? So the staff member came up with it on the deadline. So, okay, I need that by Friday. And he might came up with it on Friday. And he called him back. And after about 10 minutes, he said, John, come back in here a second. And John came in and said, did you get the report? Yes, he said. And I know you can do much better than this. I know you're better than this. And there's a lot of stuff that you have in your head that you could have included in the report, and you're better than this. And he hands it back to him and said, look, will you rework it and come back to me on Monday? Yeah? And I came back on Monday, and he handed the report, and he rang again after that. I said, look, he said, getting there, you can still do better. And, you know, if you get back to me in the morning, I'll stop some T's crossed and everything like that. You know, I came in Tuesday morning with the report and handed to the boss and said, there you are. He said, grand, now I read it. Never read it.
Sorry, here we
go. Of course people sell themselves short. I mean, you knew he could do better, even without reading it. Yeah? Would you?
Yeah,
I've got my stick. And that's it. But here's the question for all of you here in the room. Are you ready? Okay. Can you put your hand up as high as you can? Just put your hand up. Stretch as high as you can. Okay, is everybody stretching as high as you can?
Yeah.
Then go a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Of course you can. Yeah? And that's the job of a manager. Go as high as you can. Now, another bit. And I know you can do this. Because sometimes the people who have the best influence on our career are the people who believe in us more than we believe in ourselves. I know you can do this. That's why I'm giving you this job. You know, you are the most talented. You are the most artistic. You're the best ticky brain I know. And that level, even if they're not, they will become the best ticky brain because they want to impress me and I have to believe in them. It happens. They did this in a school once where they brought a new teacher into the classroom and there was one girl over in the corner, just an average student sitting by the window. Yeah? Very, very average. And when the new teacher came into the room, they did an experiment with her and the principal said, now this is your class. Yeah? And she said, okay, very good. And she said, look, before you start, I want to point out Maggie over there, see the girl with the blonde hair in the window. She is absolutely gifted. She's probably IQ more than the rest of them put together. Yeah? And when she gave stupid answers, the teacher said, well, can you explain that to me? And gave her the benefit of the doubt. Her grades doubled in that term. And she wasn't gifted at all, but because the teacher was told she was gifted, she took the time to understand why she gave those stupid answers. And of course, So if we treat our people as gifted, and we know they are, maybe not in the role they're currently performing, and that's sad. And as a manager, I have responsibility here as well. So it's my job as manager, and your manager, to make you the best credit controller that you can possibly be. That's my job. Or the best collector, or the best admin person, or the best whatever. And I will sit with you, and I will define. And every time we get on an elevator together, I will use that 2 minutes to redefine your role more and more and more clearly. In terms of, now, if you could just tweak this little bit, and if you could do that, if you could add this, and if you could take that away, if you could do this. And all the time I'm redefining what's best in the role, and I'm listening, and I'm making sure they're enjoying themselves. And I would hope, by the fact that most of the people who have ever worked for me still talk to me, you know, would give me an impression. And when it's time to go, it's time to go. I've worked in credit managers in companies where we had very strict pay policies. So I know you come in at this level, in 3 years you get up to that level, and that's where you're going to stay for the rest of your life. So at that stage, I would nearly encourage them to say, look, you've gone as far as you're going to go here. You know, you're going to get your 5 years experience, 1 year's time, and you're going nowhere, you know. So look, I know you're better than this, and if you want a career in credit management, maybe it's time to do a course, get a qualification, move on to the next level, or have a look around, or whatever the case may be, because there's only so much I can do for you. And if I have 10 credit controls and one team leader, obviously 9 of them aren't going to get the top job, that's just life. So if you want to get into that role, you can either hang around for 3 years, or you can... And I would actively encourage them when the time came to move on. If I had staff who were clearly unhappy in the job, then I would tackle that too. Okay, and say, look, Mary, you're obviously unhappy. What can we do? And if it's something I can tweak or change, I will do it. If it's, I can't, I can't. The other thing that I'm absolutely adamant on from a management perspective as well, there are American schools of thought who will tell you that if you want to deliver a criticism to somebody, we call it the sandwich method. So if you want to deliver, you've heard of this, have you? So if you want to deliver a criticism, what you have to do is, you have to say something nice at the start. Then you deliver the criticism, and then you say something nice at the end. So it's called a sandwich. Yeah, so the idea is to relax them, you deliver the criticism, and then you sweeten us at the end by saying something nice. Guess what? Do you think I'm a fan of that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If I want to deliver, you see, because then people are suspicious of you. So if that's my style, so I'm saying, oh, you're looking really well. And you're going, yeah, what's he looking for? Yeah, no, you're looking really well. You know, so if I have a praise to deliver, then I deliver. Say you're doing really well. If you've done something wrong, oi, problem. Yes. Get in here, we need to solve this. No mistake what happens. Mm-hmm. And look, this is the problem. Look what's happened. It's after blowing up. Now, Sharon, we need to have this sorted in the next hour. If you want a hand, just give me a shout. Alarm bells. And you know, whoa. And then when you've done it, well done, choose you. Tell them that. Okay, that's a great job. And if you need a hand, I'll give you a hand. We have to have this order by 11 right before the boss finds out. Yeah? So, I don't believe in... So what do I want? I believe in giving clear messages, not mixed messages to your staff. So if there's a praise, I will praise them, end of. If there's criticism, end of. And then we move on. And I will always criticise, not them as people, what they have done. So you're not stupid. But you know what? You've just done a stupid thing here. Yeah? So look, I'm going to give you an opportunity to correct it with my help if needs be, and let's move on and learn and make new mistakes. Yeah? There was a great story about a guy who made an absolutely catastrophic error in a major project, and it cost the company over $1 million at the time, which was quite a lot of money for a very big company. Yeah, and the guy, it was clearly his mistake, and he screwed up, and he obviously spent the whole weekend worrying about it and all the rest and deciding what he'd do. And he arrived into the office on Monday morning, and he had prepared his resignation letter, because it was totally his fault, and he screwed up, and that's come down to $1 million. He went into the boss, and he handed the boss the resignation letter, and the boss said, what's that?
And he said, it's my resignation letter. He said, your resignation letter? He said, yeah, well, obviously, in light of what's gone wrong. He said, look here, pal. He said, I've just invested £1 million in your education. We're going nowhere. You're going nowhere. But, I think that's a better approach, isn't it? You know, so. Not that anybody else had benefit of that. Different approach, and that's what I want to share with you today. And this really works. This really works. And it creates such a good working environment. And you see, the other thing that we're talking about, praise and rewards as well. Like, let's be careful. You know, again, back to playing drafts with people. You know, oh, if we hit our target this month, I'll bring you all out for drinks. Now, for the young people in the department, going out for drinks could be great. For the older lemons among us, this could be torture. I have to sit beside this bastard 4 or 5 days a week, and now you want me to go out and socialise with them. You know, like, it's bad enough working from 9 to 5, and now you want me to take me Friday nights as well. Yeah, so to some people that might be motivational, to other people that's torture. So, look, if you want to be part of it, let's be part of it. If you don't and you want to take your own life out, then off you go. Or if you want to 50 quid Marks and Spencer voucher and have a meal for two at home, then sure, you go and do that and enjoy it, and we'll go out and have a few pints. Let's be careful. You know, even the Christmas party, which is a big expense to most companies, to some is the best night in the year, to others it's
torture.
And if that's bad, going to my wife's Christmas party is the worst form of torture. And it's not because I don't like going out with my wife, but she works with nasty people. That's not the point. The point is, she knows everybody and I know nobody. She goes, oh, hi there! You know, and then I'm afraid to spend too much time at the bar because, you know, I'll make a show over and someone. It's just a difficult social situation. Okay? So, are we going to go out there and play chess now tomorrow? Okay, and we need to take those forms back with us. I have them on spreadsheets, you can create the spreadsheets, you're clever enough to do that. And that's the whole point.
Right, is the 12 questions in here?
No. I would have to email that to you.
I'd like to get my emails.
Would you? Oh yeah, and this is proven methodology. This is great. Yeah, let's just have a go, just for a laugh. Let's see. Just for a laugh.
I'd write my name on mine.
So, here's a question, and then this is one for you as well. Do they know why they're on the payroll? That's a loaded question. Do they know why they're on the payroll? Do they know why they're being paid? What they're expected to achieve, what they're expected to deliver. If they don't, that's your job, to make it absolutely clear. And your job as a manager is to learn their learning styles, their how we go to get the best out of this guy. Let's sit down with him, let's understand how he ticks. Next. And let's keep rearranging the world to make it better. Yeah. Now, that's not to say we have goals. This is where we are, this is where we want to go. This is our map, this is from a company perspective, this is where we are, this is where we need to go. Yeah, and you will find that even the lowest staff tend to have the same 100 million brain cells that you have. And if you have they do. Scary thought. And, you know, and they come up with answers. And if business is going bad, they know business is going bad before you do. So, lads, what can we do? Let's have a brainstorming session. And if it's an open, honest session that, you know, they feel, oh, well, I'm going to be singled out here and dragged, then they won't do it. That's what you should be doing. This is a mission statement for you with a question mark. To create a workplace that develops the strengths of every individual and their weakness is made irrelevant by the strengths of others. Now, I didn't make that up myself. It's a combination of a couple of people. I think Stephen Covey took it as his own. Stephen Covey wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People or something. And I think, was it Drucker or one of those guys back in the 50s, I think, wrote this and they thought he was mad. So it's not a new concept. Do you get what it means?
then we work to your strengths, and if you have a weakness, that's fine, because you can't do reports, but Michelle can. Mm-hmm. So Michelle did the reports, and you take over for customers, whatever. And if we can create an environment that works to the strengths of every individual, and then the weaknesses are made irrelevant through the strengths of others, then we have a turbocharged, top-class, high-performing department of people who are really clued in.
The other thing that I heard from a modern environment, and I was stunned by it, I spoke to somebody who's working in Google. Yeah? And I was saying about how they do things in Google. And he said, do you know, Declan, he said, we spend between half a day and a full day a week away from our desks discussing how we can do things better. Now, in my little empire, I can't afford the luxury of that amount of time to do that. Okay, to get away from the desk to discuss how we can do better. The reason they had to do this, are you ready for this, is because the ledger was doubling every quarter.
What do you mean the ledger?
The ledger, the value of the ledger, how much they were owed, was doubling every quarter. So if they were owed 50 million at the end of March, it was 100 million at the end of June. It was 200 million at the end of September. Now, you could say it's rubbish. Or is it?
Not so good.
So they're doing something right, aren't they? And knowing that, as I know, and knowing the importance of getting away from the desk to discuss how we can do things better, 2 years after learning it, I still haven't time to think of it. Yeah? Mm-hmm. One guy from an entrepreneurial position, because you're probably the only person in the room who can get away with this one. There's another American guru who I came across, and he discovered something. He said, you know, I discovered that I had my two most productive weeks of the year were the week before I went on holidays, because I had to get everything finished before I left. Yeah? And the week I came back off my holidays, because my head was clear and I was in good humour and I was upbeat and I still had the effects of the holiday. Yeah? And he recognised that. He then took it to its logical conclusion. And he took a week off every month. Yeah?
You write that down and sign it.
He took a week off. Declan said. He took a week off every month and he doubled his income in the first year. Just by stopping and thinking.
Productivity must be really low then if you get the best weeks for the week before you went on holiday and the week you came back.
Well, you do tend to get through a lot of work before you go away, don't you? Because you're clearing stuff and you're delegating stuff and all that
stuff. The delegation, that's what I learned last week. I was taking a half day currently and a day on Friday. And I said, I have to get all this done. I'm going to have to give it to other people. And I did. And the way I was doing it was done. But for me, it's something that I learned that I don't do enough of. And today as well, I learned that.
And delegation is the art, that's the art of management. Mm-hmm. You see, the art of management is getting stuff done by other people, not doing it yourself. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. And as a manager, you should never have to do anything yourself. So you look at all the jobs that have to be done, and that's the point of the first question, in terms of have your people more talent than they're using, and are you under pressure to get it done? So by putting those two things together, how can I increase the talent and knowledge and skills of my people, and get them to do more? And if I do this, and look at strengths and weaknesses, and look at their triggers, and look at praise, and look at motivation, and look at delegation, huge job that I should have probably touched on as well. Without calling it delegation. So I'm saying that all the jobs that I don't like, I get other people to do them. I pick the jobs I like, and I want to do more of it. So what do I want to do more of? Yes, I like going off on trips. Yes, I like doing this. Yes, I like meeting customers. I like. So let's do more of that. And this stuff I don't like, so let's get rid of that. Yeah? Let's change the world around. And as we have vacancies, let's change the world around again. Let's change the world around again. And you know what? if you hate change, and you've been here for the last 20 years, and you've always done it this way, that's okay too. Because I now have a constant rock. I took on one guy in a company, and I swear he'll retire out of it. And I knew that. I wanted, his official title was postman. And he came in at 8 o'clock in the morning, he got all the post, he opened it up, he put it on everybody's desk. Then he was finished that, he had something else. Then he had to print all the invoices and post them and frank them and get them out. And did the statements once a month. And he went to the bank. But he had a set job. So for somebody like that, I certainly don't want somebody like me. I want a sergeant major type, you know, who will, you know, come in. And he was like military precision. Now that guy would never move. And you know, that's fine. I don't want him to move. So all the change that's going on in my department will go on for people who want change. And for him who wants a secure job, he's there at 8 o'clock, you can time your watch by him coming in the morning. He had all the posts sorted and done. I used to crack him up because I used to stand over his shoulder looking for the checks. I couldn't wait till they were delivered. So that used to make him nervous in the morning, so I gave that up soon enough. So I just agreed that he'd leave them on my desk night shooting for the girls. So that was that. So it's not now I suddenly create this big change environment, because some people are very threatened by change. And if you are, and you're doing a good job, and I'm happy with the way you're performing, John, while all this change is going on, you're going to be here, and what you're doing is brilliant. And I want you to keep doing that. I want you to still be here at 8 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, if you're between him and the door at 3:30, I think he went home at 3:30 in the afternoon, you know, you'd have footprints on your forehead. Walk over your door, and that's great.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't ask him to work overtime. It just wouldn't happen. And that was his role, and it's great. Yeah? Is that a happier workplace? Yeah, I know it's easy sitting here. We need to transfer that now when we go back. Okay, that's that. So let's see how we can put this, all this stuff that we've learned, our care or anything else, and let's treat them as people. And even your guys, I know it's a different environment, and I know there's unions, and I know there's all that sort of stuff, and I know it can be difficult. I think if you as an individual are seen to care about them as individuals, and say, look, you know, if you want to be the best of who you can be, maybe it's time. If you don't want to be a collector, can you imagine doing the job of collector and hating it?
Day in, day out.
And hating
it. Not liking it, yeah.
Most of them have, the average length of service is 35 years. So they've been in the area, on average, each person 35 years.
And then you have time.
Oh, very, yeah. We'll have a class exodus in the next couple of years, and then 5 years away from the certificate. Yeah. We'll have a massive refresh to the organisation. So.
Yeah.
Under very different terms, but yeah, it's interesting to see that, you know.
But because I think collections is something you have to be passionate about, and you can tell the difference. They love it, then it's just in them. Like, they're so excited about checking, but people don't understand. Yeah. They're having, you know, oh my God, checks come in, we're lunatics. But if they don't like it, they don't have that. And I see there is one person on the team who doesn't care. We send updates every day of where we are in cash and percentage for each person as individual against their target, and then the team. It's all together. And one guy's leaving open. The rest of them are, we all get together when it comes in and look at it.
Yeah.
And so can imagine the whole team that didn't like it. I've never actually heard anybody else say that they like. I do, I love cash collection. Didn't we?
Yeah.
But I've never actually heard anyone else say it. Well, my team loves it. They love it, yeah.
Michelle, you love it?
Yeah,
Michelle.
I love it.
Beautiful,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
It's
lovely.
That's so
weird. It's the support group.
Yeah. All the sad kind of people. No, it's not that weird.
No,
I think you have a passion for it. But you find that weird, don't you? The people who actually like it.
Yeah. And not like it.
Two rough writers.
Yeah. But sometimes.
Well, you do get like Emily, and you do get great satisfaction. And even for each other, they do on the team. Oh my God, she got that in. They know. She's waiting on this money. how are we getting all our hair stuff to come in, oh, thin, thin, thin.
Yeah.
And that's it.
There's only one, I'm in my position for 5 years, there's only one day I had to, they asked me, I told on the country, what if everyone got that was not to me.
Yeah.
There's two full-time girls there, and there was a family day, so they'd usually have five. I said, would you ever get on the country? You know, and I said, well, that's the country before.
Yeah.
So probably brought the wine, I said, right, whoever helps me out the most today. And I balanced great. Yeah. Great help all day, so I just opened up between us.
Oh yeah, wine is good. Or whatever gets you through the day is good. In terms of wine being good, not for your guys.
No.
Because if I was in a job for 35 years that I hated, I would probably end up going to the pub before I went home every night.
Yeah. See, kind of mine many years ago was not being the same wine as it is now. Mm. There was a dumping ground somewhere, there was additional resources from other areas. What are we going to do with these guys?
Just too goofy to be a receptionist. Yeah, yeah,
kind of so these guys were put in there and they weren't really kind of valued for a long time, you know. And so they were just gone along with poor management, no real kind of support, direction. They just got into a rut and they're too long, they're almost institutionalized now.
Yeah.
So long it, you know.
Yeah, I know. But even with 35-year service, so they're probably heading into their mid-50s. I would still try to discover the spark, because obviously somebody in that situation, what they're doing is the job is something that funds their lifestyle.
Yeah.
So they do it because they bloody have to do it. And anyway, I'd say after 35 years, they are probably earning more than any of us in this room.
Yeah.
And I would say you have staff report to you that's earning a lot more than you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so this is the inequity of it. And I worked in big organisations similar to yourself. And there's people with slightly better control around 100 grand a year. Because of increments over a period of time. And they moved them from general manager of a station over here and dropped them in and left the package the way it was. So you have all these anomalies. So what they're doing is the job just funds the lifestyle. So when they get out, you'll find they do flying or parachuting or kayaking, or there's something that they need to vent, and the job is just something that funds that. And if you could sort of spend some time saying, you know, what are you into outside work? And would you know what they're into? So let's see if we can ignite a spark of passion in them about even something non-work related. And if you can even work on that. You might hasten their retirement, you know. And you don't have to wait till you're 65 now to do that full time. You know, life is too short. I told you. You know, I was at my 21st and 6 years later, 6 months later, I was at my sofa. That's how quick it goes by. And from where I'm sitting, I haven't aged a day. You know, those around me obviously have a different view. But for me, absolutely not. And I also have another theory on people as well, if you want to know it. And I think that people remain at the age you meet them at. So if you met somebody in junior infants in school, to you they're always.
Yeah.
So they can go on to be high flyer, manager directors or whatever. God, they're still junk.
Yeah.
You know, so people remain, they stick and hopefully I do too. Right, okay, so on your people, we have action sheets here too. As part of today is, it's not just about being entertained, although hopefully you will be entertained. We need to find the action sheets for level 2, and let's see what we're going to do differently.